And then we get rule number 7, which is trust. You can rely on your partner. That's a shout out to Hedge.
No.
No, my blood covered, rippling falcon.
Yeah, it's Valor's over in Runeterra, just slashing people left and right and covering Quinn's butt. Meanwhile, I lock down your Sundays so I can talk about what I would do to 3D characters in a video game. I think you lost that one. Just saying. But thank you.
Welcome to Casuals of Runeterra, episode 147. I'm your host, Ryan, here with your other host, Hetch.
What's going on, everybody? Yeah. And it's about time that we got back to this, because I want to see Quinn in action. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, in action. We're talking Sakuga. This is cool. This is very, very Metal Gear. I know we have our spectrum of how Warhammer is it. This is very Metal Gear.
that is beyond fair. Except unlike Metal Gear, Quinn is wearing clothes.
I'm not even going to go down that hole. We would be here forever talking about the wrong property. Housekeeping up top. You can listen to us everywhere. Visit us at podcastcore.com. Remember, that's C-O-R. For all of our info, email us at podcastcore@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch, follow us on all the platforms, because that helps us with discoverability. We don't have sponsors at the moment, so we appreciate the reach. And then leave a like and comment wherever you listen. But word of mouth is how we've gotten this far. So tell a friend to learn the rules of engagement by listening to the Casuals of Runeterra podcast.
Perhaps they're going to learn the rules of CQC.
God damn it.
Hey, you brought up Metal Gear. You brought up Metal Gear.
This is true. It is my fault.
You drew first blood. It is my fault.
First blood. We're talking about Demacia's Wings. So we're hopping back to a woman we've talked about a good bit, but specifically her bio and stuff was a while back. If you're an OG, remember those days? We're talking about Quinn. And we're talking about Quinn through the lens of our homeboy, Graham McNeil. I would say friend of the show. We don't know him, but we respect him.
Although, Graham, I would love to be buddies. I would love to buy you a drink and just let you word vomit what worlds you have in your brain. Just podcastcore@gmail.com.
So, as always, a story best told in three parts. So, part one. So, Quinn is in the Demacian Forest. She's watching a small camp of drunk Noxian soldiers. She's waiting for them to, you know, be stupid drunk, not just reckless drunk, so that she can do her thing, right? If you remember, she's a scout type. She works alone. Well, I say alone. Spoilers. We'll get there. but she's her skill set is that she monitors more of a defensive scouting position, where she looked, because Demacia is huge, right? The area they control is huge, and most of it is petricide forest. So that's her job. That's what she's good at. She likes working away from the battalions and all that. So that's what she gets assigned. So go ahead.
Just to save you now that you don't need saving, she does reconnaissance. That was the word you were looking for. But, that aside, like, it, because you. It had, you're welcome. That aside, it's been a while since we've touched on her bio. So if you want to go back and listen to that episode, that'd be, you know, we'd appreciate that. But the kind of the short and skinny of that is that Quinn just doesn't like being around people. That's not even just because of her profession. That's just how Quinn was wired as a human being before she became the champion that we know. She just didn't like being in the city. She wanted to be out in the wild, wanted to be out in the quiet and in nature. So her becoming a scout worked out perfectly. So the fact that the story's starting with her on her own, kind of doing a recon mission, she's in her happy place.
Exactly. And this takes us back to where she's at now. So looking at this camp, they're making two big mistakes. She mentions first is lighting a fire. Second is drinking. These are just bases of war in general, right? You want to keep your visibility low and you want to stay alert. They're defeating those two. And this lets her know that they're overconfident. Whatever they're doing, whatever they're up to, they're overconfident about it. And they didn't think anyone was around. And this is when she mentions rule number one, which is always assume someone is after you.
Which is beyond a safe assumption to have, especially when you're in the business of war. Because if you mess up in war, you're dead. Like, there are no second chances. So this is a good rule. Totally makes sense to me. But it is very interesting that, like, you know, she has this inner monologue going. Because, again, she doesn't like being around people. So I think that inner monologue is just kind of like, this is how I talk. It's just constantly talking to myself.
Exactly. And this is also a good rule to live by if you work in office life. I mean, someone is always out to get you. All right. She mentions rule number two, saying that survival never takes second place to dignity. And she mentions this as she's spending time just crawling through the mud around this camp, covered in bugs and grossness. Who cares? The goal is survival. The goal is the mission. And she's counting the men near the fire and notices, one is missing as she was moving. And a sound from above warns her to stay still and stop doing what you're doing. We know what that sound is. And then she notices the sixth man on alert, actually scanning the darkness. He comes from like behind a tree and she waits and doesn't move. And then the other men who are reckless drunk yell to him, get his attention, which turns it away from where he's looking, which is near her. And he heads back to the fire. And this is when she mentions rule number three, stay silent.
This is actually a really cool scene as far as the draw up, because again, like, Quinn is a champion, right? Like, this, it's kind of like the, you know, if there are any Star Trek fans out there, like, the enemies, the Noxians that she's looking at, they're all red shirts. Like, and Quinn is not a red shirt. But the one guy that is on alert, like, when Valor gives out the call to stay still, it's after that moment that she realizes that he's actually behind her. He's not aware that he's behind her. Like, he's just patrolling the area, and it just so happens to be that, like, he's in a wider net than what she's in. But she was like, oh crap, he's behind me, and I had no idea. But it's the fact that she's following these rules and she's got the eyes in the sky, she's okay. But like, it's a really cool scene because it's like, it's super tense for a second, despite the fact that, you know, they're all red shirts and she's not.
Yeah, it's still one versus many, right? The situation is dire on her end, no matter if she gets the jump or not. And the other soldiers actually help, because not only do they distract him, they convince him he's being dumb. They're like, there's no one out here, right? And this helps Quinn. And then she mentions rule number four, don't let stupid people drag you to their level. And she's talking about this guy, because if you've noticed, when we talk about specifically Demacians or soldiers in general, when they encounter other soldiers or fighters in their stories, they can tell by looking at someone what they're up against. That's part of a skill of being a skilled fighter or warrior. And this is something she emphasizes here. And she looks up after he leaves and she gives Valor the signal, and she signals back.
And we all know what's about to happen.
Is Valor? Yeah. I don't remember. Is Valor?
Can
we get a gender for Valor?
I don't know if we get a gender for Valor. I know it's
and they signal back.
And they signal back. Yeah. Like, yeah. I know, like, when I was still playing, like, everyone was just assuming Valor was a dude. but I mean, it's a bird.
Yeah.
Cloacas all look the same.
Oh, he's a dude. Yeah, he's a dude. Cloacas all look the same. She signals back to him. Okay, got it. He gives her the all clear.
Thanks, Valor. Sorry for misgendering you. We're going to hell.
God damn it. So this takes us to part two, where we're now at rule number five. So when it's time to act, do it decisively. And Quinn should take these soldiers down quietly, but she's kind of pissed about this whole situation because they're not only in Demacia proper, they're deep in Demacia. And remember, she doesn't have an idea of, or we don't have as the reader, why is she on this recon mission? What is the goal behind it? Is this general weekly, you know, touch up where, you know, just check the perimeter kind of thing? Or is there some escalation at this point in time? We don't know for the story. But she decides she's going to just walk up to the camp and say, give me what you stole and no one has to die tonight. And this shocks the shit out of the soldiers. And they fumble around, try to get their weapons and get in position. And they're scanning the forest looking for others immediately, right?
Right. Because like we have the combination of the fact that she's waited for them to be stupid drunk, but not reckless drunk. That balance, as she talked about, but also just the brass stones needed to walk up to six guys by yourself just doesn't make sense, right? It's like there's no way she's alone, which, I mean, they don't know that she's not technically alone, but it totally makes sense that they would be looking for other people. And I just love, like, Quinn as a character, because again, we don't know the context of why she's been able to track these guys down and why they're so deep, but all it's like we just have the information that we need to know, which is Quinn is like, nah, that's not in my hood, not in my hood.
And yeah, after this brief exchange, she Verdon, who is the man who almost noticed her hiding, yells, take her, right? Because they're now confident, oh, we have numbers, there's no one else, we're good to go. And this takes us to our Sakuga, or part of the Sakuga. I'm gonna read a quote here because it's pretty cool, right? It's a cool action scene. So, quote, Quinn swept her cloak back over her shoulder and lifted her left arm. A black shafted bolt from her repeater crossbow buried itself in Verdon's eye, and he fell without a sound. Quick note, that's a good person to take out first. The guy who's the most competent. Once again, a good soldier or warrior would know that.
Not even the most competent. He's also the most sober.
Yeah. Then the quote continues. A second bolt tore into the chest of the man to his left. The remaining four came at her in a rush. A screeching cry split the night as Valor swept down like a lightning bolt, for the Magic the Gathering fans out there, from a clear sky. His wings boomed as he spread them wide and swung around in a scything arc. Hooked claws tore the face from one Noxian, and the eagle's slashing beak clove the skull of the soldier next to him. The third Noxian managed to raise his weapon, but Valor sank his claws into his shoulder and bore him to the ground. The eagle's beak slashed down, and the man's struggles ceased instantly. The last Noxian turned and sprinted for the trees. This is, we have to remind you, and we don't know if you've seen the cover art, like on our YouTube video, like, Valor compared to the size of Quinn, it's a massive bird of prey.
Valor is not like a falcon that you get to pull up on YouTube and see some guy with the leather glove hold it out. And it's just like, look at the little bird fly over here. And you're like, that's a big bird. Don't get me wrong. Those are big birds. Valor's big.
Like, yeah, basically a small scary dragon.
He's kind of like the, I think he's like a dwarf version of the eagles from Lord of the Rings. You know, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah,
because it's like, you know, he's not big enough to be like you know, ride him to Mount Doom and then get an argument and get into argument with Tolkien fans about why they can't do that. Not that big, but, you know, like a distant cousin.
Yeah. And this takes us to rule number 6 in the middle of this fight is that if you have to fight, kill quickly, which has been on display here. I mean, Valor took out, I think, the majority at this point, or it's half and half about. So then the remaining man is sprinting for the trees. Quinn takes her time, takes aim, and fired a pair of bolts bursting through his back and chest. She waits, listens in case there's more men nearby, and she only hears the sounds of the forest. That's a good sign, right? And this takes us to part 3.
And I love as far as like having the wherewithal to go ahead and write in the break that Quinn took there, because it matches along with the rules that we've gotten so far, right? Because all the rules are about the rules of survival, and she did all the recon. She knew how many people there were. Even in her mistake, because of all the prep work she did before it, she didn't even pay for it, right? Like, the guy was technically behind her, but they had no idea she was there. And she knew that that guy was unaccounted for because she did the recon to know how many guys are there. So even with all this information, she's still being cautious. And that matches with the whole thing, which is, you know, the title of this, of the rules of survival. This is how she survived to this point and how she's got to be the person that could just be like, yeah, give me what you stole and I might let you live.
Exactly. So then Valor flies over and he drops the military satchel. She grabs it in the same motion. He lands on her arm and she can feel his body rippling with the thrill of the hunt. And he's covered in blood. That's the other part. His eyes are going crazy. He's scanning the forest too, looking for anything. And he's just drenched in blood. And then Quinn and Valor kind of have this connection, just being partners for so long. And they both are wondering the same thing. How were they able to get so deep into Demacian territory? And they decide, well, there's only one way to do this. We're recon. Let's fucking find out. And they head south. And then we get rule number 7, which is trust. You can rely on your partner. That's a shout out to Hedge.
No.
No, my blood covered, rippling falcon.
Valor's over. Valor's over in Runeterra, just slashing people left and right, and covering Quinn's butt. Meanwhile, I lock down your Sundays so I can talk about what I would do to 3D characters in a video game. I think you lost that one. Just saying, but thank you.
And that's where our story ends. This is a pretty quick one. But it's great to go back to, I mean, it's been years at this point since we've properly talked about Quinn. So it's good to revisit not just her, but the concept of Demacia, right? We've talked about some stories inside the space, but on the outskirts, the ever constant war with Noxians over whatever you choose. We can be classic imperialism, like two imperialist nations bumping heads against each other because of border tensions. That's a classic. But yeah, Quinn's great because one thing that's on display, and Hetch mentioned it, is that we get a lot of personality here because even though this is about the rules of engagement, even though she's very skilled, she's also has an ego, which is a very Demacian thing. And that's why she decides just to walk up to these guys. She's like, hey, I have enough space to take risk. And I'm also pissed. And I'm going to act on that. Like, willingly act on it with all the information I have. And Valor probably is the same way. He's probably very confident in his capabilities, which brings me to the concept of, will we get a situation where it doesn't work out? And how do they both react to that environment? Because mostly we've seen them succeed.
Right. I really do think that if we get to have more More stories that are kind of depicting the current state of Demacia versus Noxus, because that's one of the coolest parts about this story is the fact that it's like, yeah, like we read about like all the different wars that Demacia has had with Noxus trying to just protect their own lands because they're not expansionists, but they're still, you know, imperialists themselves.
Yeah.
But like, it's almost like we got to read the history and but the current state isn't great. It's not like they're at peace and it's like, you know, it's not like France and Germany right now. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. They are constantly trying to just, you know, sneak in a little bit here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, push the Noxians out a little bit more over here. And I think if we get more stories along this line, it would only be natural that Quinn and Valor run into a situation that's a little too sticky for them, right? Because at the end of the day, like, they're still just recon.
Yeah.
It's not like they can stumble across, like, a gigantic war band that's actually trying to make a big raid and then just, you know, hiding from the bushes, fire like 3,000 bolts and Valor killing 2,000 people.
Yeah.
Like that's not possible. So I think that it makes sense that they'll get to a story where they won't be able to overcome the odds alone. And it'll be interesting to see what champions would be involved in that kind of story. Because I think like logically, like Garen would probably be the first one that comes to my mind because, you know, he is Mr. Military. Like, he's Captain Demacia. So it's like at some point you got to call in Captain Demacia. But I also wouldn't mind seeing them come across a threat that's not Noxian. And then like they end up having to cross paths with something that they just had no business being involved in.
Dude,
and maybe that like ties in like Galio's return or something, right? I can see your brain working
in the direction my brain was going, which is, yeah, you head in the direction that I could see where you're like, oh, well, what champion would show up in a situation where they get in over their head and they need help getting out of it and they encounter something they're not used to? And I immediately thought about Vayne, because Vayne's a Soul Wars. She's solo, and she doesn't deal with your everyday soldiers. She's fighting the things you're not supposed to encounter. So them ending up in that situation and crossing paths, and you have two people who are essentially isolationist having to work together to get out of a sticky situation, and then what that turns into afterwards, whatever the resulting effect of that is, could be a neat storyline. Riot, you know how to get in contact with us.
I could totally see, like, you know, they run into a supernatural threat. Vayne ends up saving the day. And then Vayne tries to kill Quinn because Quinn starts Valor. Talking. No, like Quinn starts talking to Valor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like the moment that Vayne is like putting together that they are having a cohesive conversation.
Oh, that's good.
That she's like, nah, fam.
You're different. That's a different type of brain. I don't like that.
Oh, you built different. You built different, huh?
You heard it here first. Vayne does not like neurodivergent individuals.
Shut up.
We disavow. Okay, with that.
This is going to be the casuals of Runeterra version of Love on the Spectrum.
Thanks for listening. And we'll be back soon with the next episode.
Take care, everybody.